Good evening, Bruce. Welcome to the Space Show.
Thank you, Andrew. It's a pleasure to be here.
The Federal Aviation Authority is a large user of satellite communications, and there's a lot of development going on around the world for the future of air navigation and consideration to using navigational satellites and also communication satellites. Australians have been in the forefront of the conferences that have been going on to decide that future. Do you see any future for Australia in actually developing the systems?
Yes, I do. I'm not an expert in air navigation, but let me say to you, one of the problems which Australia and the rest of the world has is, in fact, controlled airspace is not all covered by radar. One normally finds radar systems covering airports and covering the more densely used air routes. But if you fly from Australia to North America, the vast majority of your flight is over ocean where there is no radar and where therefore the aircraft are separated by something like 20 minutes flying time and some substantial vertical separation as well. The same is true between Singapore and Europe. The same is true across the Atlantic. Now, that means very few of those aircraft will fly at the altitude which is optimum in terms of their fuel efficiency. If you were able to produce a system which enabled them to fly, to know where they were and to be separated by the same distance that they are separated in radar-controlled airspace, you could save a lot of money. Now, what is it that will enable this to happen? The first thing is the so-called global positioning system, an American satellite constellation, which is capable of determining where a receiver is within 100 metres in three dimensions anywhere on or above the Earth's surface. The second is that there is now being put in place a system of satellites which will enable an aircraft to talk through a satellite to the telephone system anywhere on Earth or above the Earth. So suddenly you have the ability on an aeroplane for the pilot to know where he is within 100 metres in three dimensions, and through the mobile communication system for the traffic controller to know where the aircraft is. You don't need to separate the aircraft by 20 minutes. You need to separate them only by the 2,000 feet or whatever it is that is conventionally used in radar-controlled space. So a lot of money will be saved where these radar systems do not operate. Why is this important for Australia? Australia is in the process of deploying the world's first fully operational mobile communication system using a satellite. The Optus B1 satellite, launched in August of 1991, was the first part of that. August 92. B2 would have completed it, except that it was not successfully launched in December last year. And Australian engineers have become very clever in using global positioning system satellites for determining location with very high accuracy. So we have the technology to make an impact, and it is possible again that over the next couple of years Australia will make an effort to secure a position in what is called the future air navigation system to be applied in Australia and around the world.
Some time ago, I was at the Woomera Rocket Range, and I wanted to report back to the listeners at Southern FM about the rocket launch, and I found that the area was out of the zone covered by the mobile telephone network. So I thought, if only there was a satellite there that we could use to put a mobile phone through, I could have rung up Southern FM and given them a live commentary on the launch of this rocket. Now, of course, there are a number of those systems proposed. Is there any chance that Australia could get involved in these low Earth orbit communication systems?
Yes, I think there is. I spoke earlier of mobile communications by satellite. And what I was speaking of there was geostationary satellites, that is, satellites 36,000 kilometres above the Earth's surface. In order to use such a satellite, you need a fairly sophisticated antenna and quite a lot of power, not a system that's amenable to a handheld communicator, but certainly amenable to a vehicle with a two-way radio-sized piece of equipment in the boot and a sophisticated electronic antenna looking like a little blip, a bump on the roof. The beauty of the low Earth orbiting proposals, which might be at an altitude of, say, 500 kilometres, is that you can reasonably hope to access them with a handheld unit, very much like the cellular telephone that is becoming so common today. And there are a number of proposals for such systems. It is widely held that at least one, and perhaps more than one, will become operational before the end of this decade. It's interesting because the wheel has turned full circle. The first communications by satellite were by low-orbiting satellites across the Atlantic, the Telstar experiments, where in the United Kingdom and in the United States there were very large dishes which actually rotated and tracked the satellites as they went over. Now we've become smart through our cellular technology, and we can have antenna systems that are very small, which track the satellites electronically, and which have switching systems that hand over from one satellite to another. As one goes over the horizon, the communication simply flips across to the next one. So these systems are coming. Now, Australian companies are expressing interest in participating in a variety of ways. They might invest in such a system. The people who are proposing them are looking for funds and looking for participation. People who might invest might be the carriers, for example. There will need to be regional stations which downlink from the satellites into what's called the public switch telephone network. Have been willing to spend the money in the past and accept freeloaders are not prepared to do so anymore. And so the choices are either put up with those policies, be prepared to pay more, and be prepared not to get everything you want, or become a supplier, even a limited supplier, and earn a seat at the table where those policies are debated and decided. And the widely held view is that we ought to take the second course, which means we'll have to invest more than we have so far.
So in summary then, Australia can have a very bright future in space activities.
I believe so. We certainly have the capability, we have the ambition, we have people with bright ideas and lots of skill. We need to find some investors who are prepared to invest, and we need to make a public investment to support all of those endeavours.
Well, Bruce, thanks for joining us tonight on the Space Show.
It's a real pleasure, Andrew. Thank you for the invitation.